Well, hello and welcome. It is good to be with you today. It is an absolutely beautiful day after a very rainy weekend, and I hope that you made it through that well. But it is so good to see the sunshine. It's a little bit cool, but it is an absolutely beautiful day, and I hope that you're having a great day. Certainly physically, as you look at this day, at whatever day it is that you're watching this, but most of all spiritually, that you're walking close to the Lord, that you're experiencing Him, that you know Him, first of all, as your Lord and Savior, but you're also as a believer, walking in fellowship with Him. I want to thank Jonathan and Nikki for all that they do to make these times possible, but obviously more than anyone, we want to thank our Lord. So let's go to Him in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for the day that you have given. Lord, for sustaining us through the weekend, for watching over us. Father, for loving us and wanting us to know you, for giving us this time. Father, for giving us your word. And Lord, I just ask now, Father, that you give us the understanding of your word, not just to be able to describe it factually or historically, but, oh Lord God, to hear your voice through it. Speak to us, we pray, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as we open God's Word to know Him better, to listen to Him, we have a very important question that we need to answer this morning or afternoon, whenever it is that you're watching this, that we need to answer today. And that is very simply, why trust the Lord? Why trust this one who we can't see with our physical eyes, who we can't touch with our fingers? Now, I'm not going to deny the obvious, wonderful truth that there are times when God's presence is unmistakable. As we seek Him, as we hear from Him, sometimes just as in His grace, He moves in our lives, and it's unmistakable that God's presence is near us. But I'm talking about as far as being able to physically see and physically touch. Why trust one that we cannot see or touch? And it's a very logical question. It's a question that any thinking person would ask. And yet as we look at Psalm 125, we see some concrete reasons to trust the Lord. As we look at this psalm and as we begin simply working our way through it, we see that first of all, He secures us. You think about how chaotic, unpredictable, dangerous life is. Whether you're talking in the big picture of the nation, of the world, or whether our own individual lives. You think about how unpredictable, dangerous it is, socially, economically, relationally. You know, I once heard someone make the observation that at a particular point in their life, they were on thin ice over deep water. And the reality is that's how most of us spend most of our days, even if we don't like to admit it or not. This is a very uncertain time in which we live, and life itself is uncertain. But it is Christ who secures us. First of all, in eternity through salvation, when we place our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, that He died and rose again to save us, to adopt us as His own. And if you've not trusted Christ, I invite you to do that. But as a child of God, He secures us, yes, for eternity through salvation, but through everyday life as well. And you think about what the psalmist was inspired to write in verse 1. Those who trust in the Lord are as Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. Mount Zion, the very rugged part of Jerusalem, easy to defend. You would almost label it as some place that could not be taken by an opposing army or force. And the psalmist there is using that as an illustration. He says, we are even more secure than Mount Zion when we are in fact in God. And so trusting God, it's not merely a good thing to do. It's not merely right. It is the path that gives us solidity. It is the path that gives us reality. It is the path that gives us security. Much like we read, and we've often quoted Psalm 46, where it says in verses 1 through 3, God is our refuge and strength and a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. And then down in verse 11, it says, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. And you think about how you see that throughout God's Word. You think about Israel when they were pursued by Pharaoh. And God didn't let Pharaoh's army catch them. And of course, ultimately, he destroyed them in the Red Sea. But you think about the security that God gave them. God gives his security to his people. And so why trust God, this one whom we can't touch or we can't see with our physical eyes? Because he secures us, and in fact, he alone secures us. But not only does he secure us, but notice as well, he surrounds us. You know, we think we err when we think of God as being up there. Now, to be sure, God the Father is on his sovereign throne. The Son is beside him where he makes intercession for us. But God the Spirit is always with us. God is, in fact, always with us as a result of that. And you think about what we read in verse 2. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and forever. Just as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so God is always, in fact, around us. You think about Elisha's servant in 2 Kings chapter 6, and you remember the story there when the king of Aram wanted to capture Elisha and send his army, and the servant got up, and he saw that army around them, and he was panic-stricken, and he mentioned it to Elisha, and Elisha said, "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And he prayed, and God opened the servant's eyes to see the army of the Lord, the host, the angels of God around them, and how they did, in fact, outnumber the army from the king of Aram. But you think about that wonderful aspect, the fact that God is always with us, that he is always surrounding us in every situation. He secures us. He surrounds us. Again, I know we've looked at it before, but you think about what we read in Isaiah 41:10. "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you." He is ever with us. He is ever surrounding us. But then notice as well, number three, he strengthens us. Look at verse 3. "For the scepter of wickedness shall not rest upon the land of the righteous, so the righteous will not put forth their hands to do wrong." The idea being there, the enemy may come, but he will not be able to stay long enough so as to cause God's people to, in fact, sin. It's very similar to that phrase that sometimes causes misunderstanding or confusion in the disciples' prayer. We usually refer to it as the Lord's Prayer, but a more accurate title would be the disciples' prayer. It was our Lord teaching the disciples how to pray. But you think about what we read in Matthew chapter 6, verse 13. "And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." A lot of people get confused over that phrase, "do not lead us into temptation." They think, well, why would God lead us into temptation? The thought there is a prayer and a supplication. "God, do not lead me into a temptation that is too great for me to withstand by your power." And obviously, God doesn't intend to. In fact, as we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and in verse 13, where it says, "No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man, and God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able to withstand, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you may be able to endure it." Yes, God allows trials to come. He allows adversities to come. And yes, he allows the enemy to tempt us, but never more than what he will strengthen us to go through, to withstand, and in fact to grow and deepen through the whole process. God, in fact, strengthens us. Why trust him? Because no matter how bad the trial may be, God always will strengthen us even more. He strengthens us. But then notice number 4, he separates us. Look at verses 4 and 5. "Do good, O Lord, to those who are good, and to those who are upright in heart. But as for those who turn aside to their crooked ways, the Lord will lead them away with the doers of iniquity. Peace be upon Israel." You know, God is always at work in human affairs. God is always at work in our life. God is always at work in every encounter we had with every individual. And the reality is, God blesses those who trust him. certainly eternally, certainly in the long run. It may seem in a particular situation that the unrighteous get by with it, or that we came out on the losing end of the stick or whatever. But in the long run and ultimately and certainly eternally, God always blesses his people. Ultimately, eternally, God always judges those who rebel against him. It might seem in a particular on a particular day in a particular situation that they're getting by with it. They're not. You look at them in the long run, and you look at them from the eternal perspective, they haven't gotten by with anything. God, in fact, intervenes. God separates. He ultimately, and I will stress that word, ultimately blesses his own, ultimately judges those who rebel against him, especially those who rebel against him by going against his people. But God separates us. He blesses his own. He judges those who are not. You think about what Samuel had to, or not Samuel, but what God told Eli, this is, which is why God raised up Samuel to be a prophet. But you think about what he told him in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30, when Eli, his sons, had been unfaithful unto the Lord. And you think about what, and Eli knew it and didn't do anything about it. Therefore, the Lord God of Israel declares, I did indeed say that your house and the house of your father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord declares, far be it from me, for those who honor me, I will honor, and those who despise me will be lightly esteemed. I had a pastor one time when I was in college who had the expression, God honors the man who honors him. And you think about that. Are you honoring God? Why trust him? Because God separates us. He honors those who honors him. He judges those who do not. We can trust him because he separates us as he deals in human affairs. You know, what a God we have. Trusting him is not merely the good thing to do or the sweet thing to do or even the right thing to do, though it certainly is all the above. The reality is there's nothing more practical than trusting him. Certainly, first and foremost, in terms of salvation, but child of God, in the circumstance, the situation that you find yourself in today, are you trusting him? You think of this great God whom were before. He is worthy of your trust. It's not just the right thing to do or the good thing to do. There's nothing more practical than putting your trust in him, clinging to him, following him, and obeying him, and letting him work and move in that situation. Will you trust him today? Let's go to him in prayer. Father, you are a wonderful God, who is in fact worthy of our trust in every single part of our lives. Lord, and I pray for all of us as we look at this psalm, that whatever it is we're facing, whatever it is we're going through, whatever adversity, trial, temptation, or even if it's a good day, Lord, a wonderful day, a time of blessing, Father, wherever it is we find ourselves, may we truly, oh God, trust you and live based on that trust. Be with us through this day, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's been good to be with you, with the Lord, and I hope that you not only have been blessed by our time together, but you'll be able to live out the wonderful truths that we've seen here, and that as you go through your day, you will trust the Lord with all the circumstances you find yourself in. And I hope that you have a great day in Him.